Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special and the message of that special. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of Numbers in chapter 13. Numbers in chapter 13. On Wednesday nights, we've just started a new Bible series on the life of Joshua. The life of Joshua. And I trust that's already been a help and a blessing if you were here last Wednesday night. And tonight we're going to continue with our Bible study and looking first of all on Joshua the man. Everything that God has recorded in the Bible is what we're looking to. Okay, not only just in the book of Joshua, but most of that which we're going to study in the life of Joshua is going to be found in the book of Joshua. But leading up to that, there's many things that God has recorded for us. Last week we looked at the first thing was the Bible says that he was a son of Nun. And we looked at Joshua as being given to the son of or Nun to be able to raise for him. He was out of the tribe of Ephraim. Out of the 12 tribes, this would be the tribe of Ephraim. And he was born in Egypt while Israel was there in slavery. And so he would have been born in slavery. He had been raised in as a slave. No doubt he would have felt the whip of the taskmasters at some point in his life. And but the first mention, now we know this, we studied in Joshua chapter 1, we looked at this, being the son of Nun out of the tribe of Ephraim. And then just from the time frame, we know that he was born in Egypt during the slavery time. And he was first mentioned, though, as the man that Moses trusted to be over his army to fight against Amalek. As they left Egypt and they were in the wilderness, we find that the first fight, the first battle they had was Amalek, which came against them. And they were a bunch of farmers, slaves. But yet God chose Joshua. And Moses chose Joshua to be able to lead these slaves in battle against the army of Amalek. And so Joshua had a task at hand, and he became victorious. They were able to defeat the armies, the soldiers of Amalek. And so what a testimony that would have been for Joshua. And then he would be known after that as Moses's minister or servant. And he would be known as Moses' servant for over 40 years. Now that's a long time to spend as an associate. but if that's God's will, then praise the Lord. He was able to serve as an associate, Moses' servant, his minister, for 40 years. Well, now we look here in Numbers in chapter 13. Something else we find about the man Joshua is that he was a man who had established a good name. A man who had established a good name. And so go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading here in Numbers in chapter 13, verse 1 and 4, and then we'll drop down to verse 8. Because these were of the 12 tribes of Israel, God instructed Moses to choose a representative from every tribe to go into the promised land to spy out the land before that Moses would lead the nation of Israel into the land. That's what the plan was at this time. And so Numbers in chapter 13, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one, a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, and those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names. And now drop down to verse 8. Of the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, which we studied last week, that was his birth name. And Moses would then at some point call Oshia Joshua. But of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshia, the son of Nun. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, again, we thank you for the very words that you have preserved for us to be able to learn of the very mind of a creator God. And each Bible character that you have presented to us in the Bible, I know you have lessons for us to learn from. So I pray tonight, God, that you would help us to put everything else out of our minds and focus on this man, Joshua, and be able to learn from the testimony and the witness that he has been recorded in the Bible for us. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So here in Numbers chapter 13, we find now that as they have gone, they defeated the Amalekites. They are now going up to the land of the promised land of Canaan. Before they would be instructed to go into the land of Canaan, we find that God would have Moses to send in representatives from each tribe to be able to go in and then come back and give them a little bit of insight into a strategy to know how to possess the land. Should not have been a question there whether they were going to go in or not. The question would be just the strategy. I think God is a God of order, and everything needs to be done decently in order. And so we need to make sure that we're looking to do that as well. As whatever we know to be God's will, we ought to at least research it to know exactly how he would have us to get it done. And that's what the purpose here was. They were to send these 12 representatives into the promised land to come back and report on how God would have them to get this done. Well, so in that, we find that the Bible mentions that the man that would represent the tribe of Ephraim would be Joshua, which helps us to see that Joshua had established a good name, for he was chosen. Now, the Bible says, and as God gave instructions for who they were to choose, the Bible says, this person should be a ruler among them. Someone that has leadership ability. Joshua has proven himself to have leadership ability. A ruler among them, meaning that the people would look to this individual to represent them. They would look to this individual to be their ruler, meaning that the people would have had respect for Joshua. And then verse 3, and all these men were heads of the children of Israel. They had a position with their tribe. Now, all the things that God says here about these 12, and each one of these 12 had established a testimony in their tribes. And they were chosen. They were chosen. So, chosen to represent his tribe to spy out the land. I've had people say to me sometimes, I don't care what other people think of me. Really? I trust you've never said that. But it could be that you got upset because somebody said something about you and it was wrong, and so you said, well, I don't even care what they think. I understand where you're coming from. But that's not the attitude we should have. Everyone wants to be liked, whether you admit it or not. It's just part of our makeup. Everyone wants to be accepted. Everyone wants to be liked. Now, they might sever their conscience, and they might be so involved in evil that they lose sight of that. Now, I won't say that you can't get to that place where you don't care, but that's not natural. Naturally, humanity, God created us to want people to like us, to want to fit in. Now, some place too much emphasis on being liked. Others don't place enough emphasis on it, being liked. Too much emphasis is allowing someone else to determine who you are. And so because you want that person to like you, you're going to respond to them the way they you think that they want you to respond to them. And you're willing to give up who you are to be what you think somebody else wants you to be so that they will like you. Anybody done that? And everybody ought to have their hand up one way or the other, because that's part of human nature as well. That's part of wanting to be liked, wanting to fit in so badly that we will even become what somebody else wants us to become. But you'll never find true peace. You'll never find true joy in living life by trying to be somebody that somebody else wants you to be instead of the one who knows how he created you and why he created you, and being more concerned about what God knows about you than what somebody else thinks about you. Joshua wanted to establish a godly testimony to be able to serve God. Because as he would be the kind of man that God wanted him to be, then he could be the kind of servant that Moses would need. And not only would he be the kind of servant that Moses needed him to be, but he would also be the kind of representative to his tribe, to the people of Ephraim, that they would need him to be. But it would start with being the man that God wants you to be. It always starts with being the person that God wants you to be. God's the one that created you. God's the one that has given you those talents. God's the one that has placed you in the home that you've been placed in. God's the one that has a purpose for your existence. And he's the one I need to look to be able to establish a testimony in his sight so that he might use me as in my testimony in other people's lives. See, God says that establishing a good name is important. What's establishing a good name? That's a testimony. Proverbs chapter 22. Joshua had established a good name. No doubt we see this. In the book of Proverbs in chapter 22, and then also over in the book of Ecclesiastes, the book after Proverbs in chapter 7, I want to read these two verses to you. Proverbs in chapter 22 and verse 1. A good name. A good name is rather to be chosen. That means you choose to have a good testimony. You choose to be the person that God wants you to be and have a testimony that God wants you to establish. It's rather to be chosen. That's how it's more important than great riches. As a parent, you need to establish a testimony for your children. Because that testimony will be worth more to your children than money, than things, than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. I'd rather be chosen a good name, a testimony, and loving favor. I want to be in favor with God. That is more important than these other things. Over in the book of Ecclesiastes, we find somewhat the very same thought here, but it reveals even more detail. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment. Precious ointment, especially in the desert and in Israel, was very important, and it was something that you needed to have for a lot of different reasons. But he says, a good name is better than precious ointment. And then he connects this to it. And the day of death than the day of one's birth. focusing on your day of death, or are you focusing on your birth? In like manner, you see, can't change my birth, but I can focus on how I die, because I can do something about that. You can do something about your testimony. You can do something about establishing a good name. And God says it's important. If God says it's important, then it's important. It's important that you establish a good name so that He can point people to you. And the first ones that God points to you as a parent is your children. And He commands them to honor you. Live a life that can be honored by your children. Amen? Live a life that God can use to impact other people's lives. Live a life that your wife can look up to you and submit herself to. Live a life that your husband can look to and love you as Christ so loved the church and give Himself for you. Make it easier for him to love you as Christ wants him to love you. That's your testimony. That you're establishing a good name. Amen. That's powerful stuff right there. Joshua established a good name to be a servant of God's. And we won't go there for sake of time, but you know, to be a servant of God's, God gives qualifications. To be a pastor, God gives qualifications. To be a deacon, God gives qualifications so that you might set an example for the entire church family. And those qualifications, when we look to meet those qualifications, as you look to be that kind of an individual, then you are establishing a good name. The kind of testimony that God wants you to have in order for God to be able to work through you to be a pastor, to be a pastor's wife, to be a deacon, to be a deacon's wife, to be a Christian. It's important that we understand the importance of a good name. Yeah. Joshua. I love it because most Bible characters have some flaws. And we have to go through and we have to study those flaws. When we did the life of David, every time I go through the life of David, I don't want him to commit the sin with Bathsheba. But you know, every time I study it, it's part of it. Can't undo what he did. Now he repented. God did use him after that to a certain extent, but couldn't undo what he did. Joshua has an outstanding testimony throughout his entire life. You will not be able to find a better testimony in scriptures outside of Jesus Christ than the Bible character that we are getting into and studying than the testimony of Joshua. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah. But these beginning messages kind of are leading up to how he was able to be the man that he was. He established a good name. The second thing we learn here as we continue to look at the man, Joshua the man. Second thing here is, as a servant, he was willing to place himself in harm's way for 40 days to accomplish what he felt like God would have him to accomplish. As he was chosen, then he accepted what they wanted him to do. Numbers in chapter 13, go back there with me, in verse 20. And what the land is, when you go in there, you want to establish and understand what you're bringing back. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood thereof or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Now what we find here is, all right, he's chosen. All right, what do you want me to do? I want you to represent your tribe with 11 other individuals, and you're going to go into the land of Canaan where they're aware of us being out here and they are on guard. And if you are caught, you will be killed because they know that you will be in the country as a spy to go back and report to Moses. And so what we're asking you to do, all 12 of you, is put your life on the line. But be courageous. Courage is not looking to be a martyr. It is to be willing if needful. As long as I know it's what God would have me do, I'm not going to fear it. But I'm not looking to die a martyr's death. Joshua did not want to go into the land of Canaan and be found out so that he would die in the land of Canaan as a martyr for whatever purpose that God had him in the land of Canaan. No, he had a desire to go into the land of Canaan, accomplish what he had, what God had him in there to do, and then come back and be a servant to God. If you're dead, you can't serve him. But don't fear doing what God's asked you to do. Don't let fear dictate your life. If God would have you to do something, make sure it's what God would have you to do, but then be willing to do it courageously. Every time before I go out door-to-door soul winning, I have a little bit of a twinge of fear. When I go up and knock on a door of a stranger, I have a little bit of a fear. And if I would allow the fear to control me, I would never witness for the Lord. Anybody willing to? It's natural. There's going to be a fear in knocking on somebody's door that you don't know and not knowing who's going to. I've had several encounters at doors. But my main thought is, I'm not here representing Dan Tidd. I'm here representing Jesus Christ. If this person dies and goes to devil's hell, it's because he didn't receive Jesus Christ. I have what he needs, whether he needs it, knows it or not. And so I'm going to do what God has asked me to do and put myself in a situation sometimes that might not be comfortable, but yet I'm going to be courageous and I'm going to do what God has asked me to do. The first time I stood before a children's group to teach a Bible lesson, I was scared to death. I thought, Lord, are you sure? I do not want to do, this is not the feeling that I want to have. I do not want to have to stand and teach your word. But I knew it was God's will. Remember the first time you prayed in public? Anybody not have a little bit of fear before you prayed? Why'd you do it? God told me to serve him. God wants me to serve him. God wants me to pray. God wants me to witness God. So you're God's servant. Be courageous. That's what God told Joshua. You're putting your life at risk. Don't volunteer to be a martyr, but don't fear dying. Because God is in control of life and death. God is in control of life and death. And if you die serving God, then praise the Lord. But I think most of us can accomplish more by living to serve God. But although Paul did say this in Philippians in chapter 1, let me read it to you. Everybody with me tonight? Yeah, Philippians in chapter 1. Very well known passage of scripture. But in Philippians in chapter 1, Paul says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. But for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What a great way of look at living life. If God chooses to take my life while I'm serving Him and living for Him, then to die is gain. But I can accomplish more possibly by living life serving God. Yeah. So that's Joshua. As a servant, established a good name. As a servant, was courageous. As a servant, he would remain steadfast in his faith. Numbers chapter 13. Go back there with me. After they returned, God worked some miracles there. What a blessing. And if you, we don't have time to see how God preserved them in the land for 40 days, used a harlot to do so. But now they return. Alive, all 12 of them. Ten of the spies gave a faithless report. Really? After God kept you alive, and everything you saw was according to what God said you would see, and yet you get, come back, and you give a faithless report. What do you mean by a faithless report? Well, look at chapter 13, verse 31. But the men that went up with him, Joshua and Caleb, the men that went up with Joshua and Caleb, the other 10, said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Who do you have on your side? The God that split the Red Sea, the God that just delivered you from the Egyptian army, the God has fed you water out of a rock. For they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report. They brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature, and you're not. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight." You looked at yourself without faith. You looked at yourself without the presence of God. And you saw yourself in your own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Ten of them gave a faithless report. But Joshua remained steadfast in his faith. They saw the same things. Chapter 14, verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search is an exceeding good land. God called it the promised land. It was going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. And thus it was. It was an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. What a difference. And the majority gave a faithless report. Joshua remained steadfast. Faith in God was available to all 12. It's not like God to say, all right, you're going to go through something, and I'm going to give you faith to go through it, but you're going to go through the same thing, and you're not going to have the faith to go through it. God doesn't determine your faith. God determines his word. You determine if you have faith in it. Ten of them had the very same faith available to them, and they chose not to have it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They didn't look to the words of God. They didn't look to the words of God. They're not going to have the faith to do what God tells them to do, because they're not gaining faith through hearing the word of God. Every time you hear the word of God, it can and will strengthen your faith. Yeah. Our faith needs to be based on the facts of the word of God and not on feelings. Giants in the land would have been just as scary to Joshua and Caleb as they would have been to the other 10. Giants are scary looking. Until you look at them at the same time you're looking at God. And if you're looking at God, they no longer are scary. And that's the only way that David was able to go up against Goliath. He didn't focus on Goliath as much as he would focus on God. And when he focused on God, he brought Goliath down to the place where he would be able to defeat him. You got to get over feelings. If you base your faith upon feelings, you're going to be lost. I don't always feel saved. But am I saved? I'm always saved. 24/7. Feelings or not, because I've done what the Bible says I must do to be saved, based on the words of a God who cannot lie, I know that I'm saved. That's facts. The devil gets me away from facts and starts looking to feelings, I'm going to be lost. Especially when I've just got upset with that person who pulled in front of me. and I'm not feeling saved right now. I have a lot of other feelings. Being saved is not one of them. Yeah. Boy, that's good stuff. Yeah. Faith cometh by hearing. Base our faith upon the facts. When God told Moses to pick out 12, he said, make sure that they know it's a land which I will give them. Two of them remembered that. He said, surely it floweth with milk and honey. It's what God promised. If you're focused on what God's promised, if your faith is based upon what God's promised, you'll be steadfast in it. Steadfast. How can we say that without looking at, let me just read it to you, you know the verse, but 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, if you're based on facts, if you base it on the word of God, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Just be steadfast. Lastly, real quick, as a faithful servant, Joshua is blessed by God, unlike the unfaithful servants. Numbers chapter 14, we're done. God comes into the picture once again, and he stops the revolt. People wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb, wanted to stone Moses, wanted to somehow in some way go back into Egypt. How ridiculous. How ridiculous. God stops it, and then he says this, verse 28. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses, this is the rebellious Israel and the 10 spies, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save two exceptions, only two exceptions. The two that were steadfast in their faith. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. So, as a faithful servant, Joshua was blessed by God. Faithfulness allows us to experience more of the blessings of God. And at one point, when this life is over, we'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Wow. I want to have the blessings that God has for me here as I serve Him, being steadfast in my faith, and then later on, when I experience death in this body, but a newness in a place of glory. And hear the God, hear my Savior say to me, well done. Just like Joshua, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What a testimony that Joshua has. And what a testimony that God wants every born-again believer to have as well. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Joshua the man. It's going to help us to understand this when we get into the book of Joshua, to see what Joshua actually does and accomplishes in possessing the land. But what a lesson to learn on establishing and choosing to have a good name. I trust that that's something that all of us would want to have. A testimony for Christ. Father, we bow before you tonight. Love you and thank you, Lord God, for the Bible character that we're studying now, the man Joshua, and what you've recorded for us to learn from it. And I pray that we would not only learn it, but we would make whatever applications that you would have us to make. Bless now this invitation tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.